Welcome to Fourth Stream Radio, where we consider concepts to help on your quest to a satisfied mind. And today, Dave and I are talking about finding our true success through kingdom living. And as we talk about this, feel free to join the discussion. Email us at 4@fourthstream.com. That's the number 4@fourthstream.com.
I'm looking at the back cover of the book. I put a chess piece on the front. Because it just made me feel, and it's the king, and it makes me feel like life, you know, just the nature of life is kind of like a chessboard sometimes.
Well,
or for some people, it's checkers.
Well, you feel like in chess, you think steps ahead, you know, it's strategy,
right.
It's thinking on different levels.
Absolutely.
And you kind of feel like that's what life is like. You're holding up all these plates and trying to deal with them all at once.
And I was looking through images and I found this beautiful golden crown. And I put
nothing
that,
at all like Burger King.
No, I put it on the back of the book because, you know, it just kind of described the whole journey to me. You know, you got the chess game, the faith, the life that we're living. But then we have the ultimate crown that we're going to receive, the crown of life, which is like totally exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And on the back, it says the journey of life is exciting on so many levels. The challenges, the unexpected twists in the road, our choices, the people, and the circumstances. And that's really a lot of what kingdom finding your true self is all about, because you know, I think it's important to look at our journey truly as a journey. You can't just get wrapped up in the moment. It's okay to deal with the moment, but you don't want to be wrapped up in the moment, because God is not wrapped up only in the moment.
Well, it seems like when you read everything in the Word, everything in the Scriptures, God really cares about process. He doesn't care about the end result. I mean, he does care about the end result, but he doesn't not care about how you get there.
Well, I think he works actually more in when it comes to process than in just the destination. I mean, I know he likes us to obey him and get where he wants us to go, but it's that process of figuring that out. I mean, that's what the Bible's all about. It's filled with people's processes and very imperfect processes in this whole kingdom experience. Well, today I'd like to talk a little bit before we get into the book of Matthew, because that's what this book is based on. It's just it's all of the passages in Matthew that talk about kingdom. As I mentioned the last time we were together, Jesus rarely mentions church. He talks about the kingdom all the time. So I've come to the conclusion that it's king first, kingdom second, and then comes church. It's not that one's more important than the other, but they flow out of each other. So if I can't encounter my king and see his authority, how will I ever understand his kingdom? And if I don't understand his kingdom, how am I ever going to impact people in an eternal way, which is hopefully the goal of any part of the church of Christ in history,
right,
or in current life? So today I'd like to talk a little bit about defining true success, because what your definition is very important when it comes to finding your true self and your place in the kingdom. So your quest and my quest for a satisfied mind is key to our personal success. And in my opinion, there are several challenges we must articulate and engage in order to be a true success. And so at the end of the book, we're going to go back to them, but here we want to talk about them, because I define a satisfied mind as living and finishing my days, however long they may be, at peace with my Creator and at rest concerning my life and the afterlife. Now, for me, that's the big picture.
Right. That's your definition of true success, but I assume that it may look a bit different for everyone in terms of what it means to be at peace with your Creator. Would that be right?
Well,
or do you mean overarchingly one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?
Well, I think that is the beginning of it, but for me to be at peace and to have a satisfied mind, I have to get that worked out in my own soul, and that happens in my arena of faith. And so I have all of these chances, all of these things that I face, and they're all opportunities for my faith to enlarge. And so I think it's possible to have a pretty puny faith even after you've lived a lot of years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah, but I think what God's intent is that we would enlarge in the part of us that is our interior life, and that our faith would enlarge so that our soul would grow full and grow rich. And that's part of what gives us a truly satisfied mind.
Okay, so then that's why you have some criteria to consider.
Yes, and for me to think honestly from a biblical perspective about true success, these four success challenges need to be thought about mm-hmm. and weighed out, because they don't come naturally to us. I mean, we're, you know, we're kind of eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. That's kind of
it is easier.
Well, it is.
Or we feels like it.
Well, and if you don't get too wrapped up in theology and philosophy, mm-hmm. well, you know, you can kind of hopefully just figure float your way through whatever floats your boat. Success challenge number one, engage honest conversation with yourself about what you want out of life. Because by reflecting upon what you want, you're going to be better able to place it next to what Jesus wants for your journey. And it takes effort to engage in honest personal evaluation, but it's well worth it.
And I'd be curious, too, to see if this is different for men and women, since I, or most women, tend toward nurturing and emoting. Would we want our relationship with God to be more like this? And would men want it to be a little more...
adventurous.
And I was going to use the word transactional, but that sounds kind of...
That's why I got in there and put adventurous.
Can we take that back? Can we take that out? But I sense even when you and I talk about our relationship with God, they would look different. And I guess maybe that makes sense, because when I think about each of my kids, I have a little bit different relationship or a little bit different way of communicating with each kid depending on how God created them. So why wouldn't he speak to you and me, kind of have a different relationship with each of
us?
Yes,
but think about how cool that is, mm-hmm. because in the time that we've been married, we've both learned about each other's independent relationship with God, and we have learned to enjoy it.
Right.
Not try to make each other like the other person.
But I really had to learn that, because I would hear about other people's relationships with God and I'd think, I'm falling short, or, oh, I wish I had that, instead of enjoying the relationship God was developing with me.
I think in engaging, too, honest conversation, you know, there are a lot of things that I don't like about life.
Mm-hmm.
They're difficult, they're tough. And there are some things that I don't like about how God has set things up, you know, as far as our lives. And I,
mm-hmm.
if I look back at the growth periods in my life, and if I'm honest about it, you know, and it was the tough times often that made me grow more than any of the easy times ever did. And mm-hmm. I even say that now, it almost brings tears to my eyes, but it's how God works. And mm-hmm. having an honest conversation with God is so important for our soul, because, you know, it's one thing to question God. It's totally another to ask God questions. And I'll guarantee you that God can field any question.
Well, and you always talk about an honest conversation with God. I tend to say that like wrestling it out with God, because I kind of wrestle with myself and I wrestle with him like, I don't like that answer. So what do you really mean by that? And why don't I like that? And what is it about me that feels frustrated?
So success challenge number one is in engaging in honest conversation. The second one is to find a source, and I have it capitalized in the book, find a source you can trust to self-mentor your quest toward a satisfied
mind. Exactly what does that mean? Because you don't obviously mean just any source.
No.
So then if you're talking, what do you mean then by self-mentor? So you obviously mean source as God.
Well, that's why, you know, in the rest of the paragraph, I said there are so many life philosophies from which to choose. How can a person be sure he or she will achieve a satisfied mind? So when I say source, if I'm going to be mentored by a source, I want to make sure that it's an authentic source.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. and I think there's ample evidence that there is a source that absolutely transcends every other source, but I get concerned because I don't feel like people investigate. I feel like all they end up doing is taking other people's words for it, or they get kingdom spirituality mixed up with religion, and that mm-hmm. subverts people, and then they never learn how to be self-mentored by God, which is totally different, I think, than being self-mentored by religion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Christ wants to have a relationship with us. I mean, mm-hmm. it's the whole point of the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide us, and he wants to lead us, and he wants to work with us, and he wants it to be individualized and personal.
And internal.
Absolutely. Success challenge number three. So you've got, you want to have honest conversation with yourself. And, you know, let's be honest, there are a lot of voices out there, and you've got mm-hmm. multiple voices inside, right? I know Bernadette does. Finding a source then, success challenge number two, that you can trust to self-mentor your quest And I don't want to move beyond that before I just say that when I say self-mentor, I want to have something I'm connected with. I appreciate teachers. I appreciate mentors, people that I can look up to. But I want to be self-mentored. And I want to be self-mentored by God himself. If I can't have that kind of a connection, you know, what will I really have?
Okay, so do you mean self-mentored or God-mentored? Or do you sort of mean the same thing?
I mean the same thing. Okay. I want it to be a personal mentoring. Good point, because I can see why that would be misunderstood. Success challenge number 3, invite the spiritual process of interacting personally with Jesus' teaching about his kingship and his kingdom. Once you've determined whether or not Jesus is the king over the entire earth, your end game becomes much clearer.
Why does my end game get clearer just because I believe in Jesus?
Well, it's not...
Because I talk to lots of people who believe, but they still don't seem sure of like, okay, but what now? Or what do I do when I get stuck?
That's why I use the word his kingship and the fact that he is king over the entire earth. So it's a matter of his kingship and it's his kingdom. And that is different than just believing that Jesus exists. I believe that Jesus is my king.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I believe that Jesus is my king, then I'm going to bend, right? I'm going to bow before mm-hmm. his authority. Now,
yes.
That does not come naturally. So for me to invite that spiritual process. So I think, again, back to the puny faith idea, I think if you don't get through that door, where does that leave you? Mm-hmm. I'm only willing to bend what I want to bend, and I'm not going to put it before my king mm-hmm. for him to tell me what he wants. Anyway, I get kind of emotional. You're giving me that look.
I'm nodding.
Hey, if this is a stretch for you, ask your creator to meet you partway on the road to personal connection, because this whole idea of having a pure heart, it really is a gift from God, but it comes from entering through the door of recognizing that you have a king, and if you are willing to submit to that king,
mm-hmm.
he's going to open up doors to you that you will never be able to open
for
yourself.
And that's cool. What a cool idea.
It is cool. Success challenge number 4. So we started out with an honest conversation with ourselves, finding a source that we can trust to self-mentor our quest. Also invite the spiritual process of interacting personally with Jesus' teaching about kingship and his kingdom. Finally, success challenge number 4, find other men and women who are courageous and willing to ask penetrating questions as you engage the kingdom process, because the kingdom is rigorous.
And there are a lot of questions that are just, you know, like, why is there suffering? And do all babies go to heaven? And it's got to be okay to ask that. Sometimes you're around people that just feel like, those are too tough of questions. We don't really want to talk about that. But, you know, what's the practical purpose of baptism? Is there something that happens to us when we're baptized? Or is it pure obedience? Or is it just something that's expected at our church building on the corner? There are lots of questions just to sort of...
Ruminate
and talk to with other people and get their ideas and search the scriptures and figure it out.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was, let's could boil it down to just like 10 pat answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's easy to do that. And I think Christianity has tried to do that, particularly recently. It's not an easy process. It's very messy. We certainly don't have to check our intellect at the door in order to courageously face the deep questions about our destiny. And by the end of this book, you should have all the data you need to define true success and determine if you can meet these 4 growth challenges. Fourstream.com, collection of resources to help you and those you know experience the freedom of a kingdom life. If you'd like to listen to today's program in its entirety, go to fourstream.com and click on the radio button.
Together, we're finding hope at fourthstream.com.